expensive, staying at room 13. Usually Ariana, usually Barry, and that's just how my life goes. And I don't ever try to dress to impress. Fuck you, preppy asshole. From the crowd. Now she's pantless on the bathroom sink. Her mother would be so proud. Gets on a deed and there's a line to go pee, but the bathroom looks like a war zone.
Welcome in to episode 82 of Fired Up. I am your host, Dom Console. Yup, you heard it right again. This is the second time in, the last month and a half that I'm running the show here. You know, this is what happens in the insane run the asylum. Joining me is Chris Lucia. What's up, man?
Not just that, Dom. Last week, me and you both missed the show, yeah. So it looks like we're doing like a, you know, an opposite with Mike and Kylie, maybe.
Yeah. What's going on, man? How are you?
Good, man. Ready to talk some birds?
Yeah.
We have interesting concepts that we brought up with each other to talk about. I'm excited.
Yeah, for sure. Before we get into the show, Mike couldn't be here. Some exciting news. He became a dad for the third time, his third little girl. We're happy for him. We're happy to add to the Fired Up family. You're not too far behind.
I'm like, I think we're halfway there. I'm 20 weeks in, 20 weeks left, so.
Oh, you're 20 weeks in, not your wife.
Oh, no, my wife. Not me.
Nah, I'm just kidding. Before we get into anything, we just want to congratulate him, send him the congrats, viewers, listeners, and then before we get into anything, we got something from Manscaped.
Thanksgiving's right around the corner, and this holiday season, I'll be giving thanks to our friends over at Manscaped. Everyone loves turkey and stuffing, but you'll be looking like the dessert with the help of the Manscaped Performance Package 4.0. The leaders in below-the-waist grooming have blessed you with the ultimate Thanksgiving dinner topic. Tell your in-laws about your new cutting-edge ball trimmer and gift yourself or the man in your life the ultimate men's hygiene bundle. Trim your pumpkins by going to manscaped.com and using the code FIREDUP for free shipping and 20% off. Think your holiday spread is good? It's time to give thanks to Manscaped Performance Package 4.0, or as I like to call it, the perfect package for your package. Inside, you'll find the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver ball deodorant, Crop Reviver toner, Performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold your goodies. Think of it as a cornucopia for your balls. Their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. It also gives you the ability to turn on the 4000K LED spotlight on and off for a more precise shave, plus is waterproof. The Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Weed Whacker to chop your worst weeds up top in your nose and ear. This nose and ear hair trimmer uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system to provide proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes. Can't forget the Manscaped's liquid formulations. The Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Toner Spray are like the pumpkin pie and ice cream after Thanksgiving dinner. Can't live without it. Your balls will be living in turkey heaven with these formulations. As if this wasn't enough, it's time to do the dishes with Manscaped shower products. Lather some of Manscaped's refined body wash on their brand new signature body buffer and give yourself the lather and rinse your body deserves. Lose the loofah and exfoliate your mates. No hygiene routine is complete without Manscaped's signature deodorant as well. A couple swipes of this and you'll be feeling oh so crisp. Gifting Manscaped is the ultimate hack to becoming the family favorite. So get 20% off and free shipping with code FIREDUP at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com using the code FIREDUP. Be thankful this holiday season for the best gift of all from Manscaped. Your balls will thank you.
Okay, so I'm getting text messages here. My microphone, we've had issues the last couple weeks. We thought we fixed it. Is this better?
It sounds better.
Okay. All right. I'm getting text messages in left and right. So hopefully that's all good. Listen, Chris and I talked before the show. We're gonna, there's really like not that there's never a formula or a thing that we do. You know, we obviously all talk about what we're gonna talk about, but you know what? Mike is very good at this. He's very good at controlling a show and producing, so I give him props. Chris and I texted today, and we're just gonna wing this thing, right? I mean, we're just gonna. I don't even know what's going on right now. We're just gonna wing this thing, right?
Yeah, I think we're the best way to do this is to just go crazy, right?
Yeah, you only live once, right? We could start off by talking about the Birds. Obviously, a nail biter till the end against the Colts in Indianapolis. Going against. Oh, here we go. A comment from Mike. Sounds like Dom is in the middle of a hurricane. Well, just call me weatherman. I got to do what I got to do.
Mike, shouldn't you be like shooting a baby, Mike? Or
yeah. The Eagles, nail biter. They pull it out on the last drive of the game, nonetheless. They win 17-16. What are your thoughts?
I think they look really poised. Like, at the end, Jalen Hurts looked like, hey, if I got to take this whole thing on my back and get this thing done, I'm going to get this thing done. I think that the Colts honestly, played to lose that game. I don't understand their thought process with stopping running Jonathan Taylor. Like, first drive, right down the Eagles' throat. Like, then they're like, all right, good enough. Like, we're just going to relax with that. I do think that for the most part, the defense held up pretty well. I like Ndamukong Suh and Linval Joseph. They were both involved in the attacking game. But I think what this team misses the most is Dallas Goedert. You're not talking right now, so I'll just continue to go with what I was going to talk about. Tyree Jackson is somebody that I was like, I hope he could be the guy. He doesn't get much play. Jack Stoll gets one catch. Grant Calcaterra just isn't big enough to be in those big running packages.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm still messing around with the mic. I'm trying to figure it out.
Sound really good.
Yeah. I got a little bit closer too. I agree with a lot of that. I just think, coming off like a kind of a shitty loss, honestly, last week.
Let's just call it what it is, a bullshit loss.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Obviously, Mike and Kylie touched on it last week. We can get into that a little bit. I'm not that concerned. Not concerned, but listen, the Eagles went into Indy on the road, coming off of a division loss at home against the fourth ranked best defense in the league.
Yeah.
You know what? They came and they played. I didn't love the game plan, and that's you and Mike were texting during the game, and I said that I was going to kind of touch on it. Mike said, why is Boston Scott – I forget exactly what he said, but he said something along the lines of why is Boston Scott getting goal line carries and short yardage carries, and I said that I was going to touch on a little bit on the show. I didn't love the game plan this week. I really didn't. The last 2 weeks. This week I didn't love how early on I felt like they sustained the run. Every time Sanders touched the ball, it was 4, 5, 6 yards. And then they went away from it. And then they started throwing the ball.
They did the same thing against Washington, too.
Yeah. And then towards like the second quarter, the throw was kind of working. And then they kind of went away from that. And that's when you texted, like, I don't know why they're not throwing the ball down the field, or whatever you said. I'm paraphrasing. But I just didn't love the game plan. And you know, but I will say this about Kyle Gannon after that shitty performance we saw last week. He came out on the road. Listen, I know the Colts, they're not the best team in the league. They're kind of down there. But to be on the road and only give up 16 points, it's not terrible.
It's not bad at all, especially with Matt Ryan being Matt Ryan, who at any point can probably just, you know, throw the ball at will. I don't think, like, defensively, I don't think it was, you know, I think they played a good game. They played that classic bend, you know, don't break defense. I just really am worried about, like, did you watch the Chicago game yesterday, I assume?
Bits and pieces.
So, like, what happens to a team when they don't have anybody but a running quarterback? And I know we have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, but, like, he's hurt now. Like, his shoulder's all messed up, Justin Fields. Like, and that's what it looked like yesterday. Hurts was like, you know what? Like, I don't have anybody in the middle of the field. Like, I'm just going to take these yardage. I mean, it's there. Take it. But you know what I am worried about that I haven't been all year? Ball security the past two games is something like they were plus, I think, 17. Now they're trending down to plus 12. I know you're still in that plus range, but the fumble from Hurts and then the fumble from A.J. Brown, they're just, like, inexcusable in the moment. Yeah. Yep. Especially A.J. Brown. Like, you pride yourself. Like, you're a guy who's a run-after-the-catch guy. Like, you should be holding that ball high and tight.
Yeah. And I know he had some issues with his ankle. And that's been the kind of the story with A.J. Brown in his career was, yes, he's a very good player. When healthy, he's a top five, top ten talent, in my opinion. I mean, just talent-wise.
Oh, yeah.
The hardest guy probably in the league to tackle. But these were the things that, like, kind of held him back from being, you know, one of the best was because his injury history. And listen, I think he's been great this year.
Yeah, I love the guy.
Yeah, he's great. He's awesome. But it's the same thing with, like, Miles Sanders and Dallas Goedert. It's like these guys keep getting hurt, and it's like at some point we kind of need them to stay healthy if you're going to make a run.
Yeah. What pisses me off about A.J. Brown is he's on the sideline. The two drives that, like, kind of just went nowhere, and he's, like, yelling and, like, screaming like he wants the ball, and then you get the ball and you fumble the ball. Like,
yeah,
that's not, like, that's just not what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. What did Smith do? What was his line this week?
I think he had, I want to say, like, 5 for 60 something.
Yeah. Okay.
Something.
So yeah, I mean, coming off a week where there wasn't much production, you know, it's good to see him get a little bit of attention. I
love Devontae Smith. Devontae Smith is my favorite. Wide receiver on the team.
Yeah. Not to get off Devontae Smith, but I kind of feel like this game was very much like a roller coaster. I just kind of felt like the offensive line played well and then they didn't play well and then they played well and then they didn't play well. And I don't know. I think that's kind of – I'm hoping – it's 2 weeks in a row, really. I'm kind of hoping that doesn't become a thing. You know?
Yeah, there were some, like the Jason Kelce snap over the head. Yeah. Mailata sometimes, like, is he getting beat on a quick rush on the outside? The one strip sack on Hurts, like, why do you slide protection to the right and leave Miles Sanders to chip block and Ngakoue? Like, that's just bad, like, play design. So yeah. I don't know if it's necessarily like the line is like slipping or like they're sliding their protection the wrong way. But like last week, like that Washington front is like nasty. That's a nasty front. And so is the Colts front. Like that front end is nasty. So what did they end the game with? How many sacks?
The Colts?
Yeah.
I don't know. I can check.
This Mike is like gold right now.
What'd you say? Oh, is it? Yeah, we're all good.
If it was Mike, no, I'm saying if it was Mike on right now, he'd have like
No, he'd be sitting here saying, talks amongst yourselves. And they had 1.5, 1.5. So 2, 3.5 sacks.
Okay. Right? So, 2.5. So not bad against like a good front. And one of them was.
No, three sacks. Sorry. Three.
And one of them was the Ngakoue, like Miles Sanders getting blown up on like a chip block. So I don't even like count that on the offensive line. So 2 sacks given up on the offensive line. Not bad. Right. Plus, remember, like one of the sacks came from Jalen Hurts, like strolling to the left.
Yeah. He ran into the sack.
Right. And then, yeah. So, like, I don't know. I like, again, I still would ride behind that offensive line to the playoffs, like to the Super Bowl. Like when they want to run the ball down your throat, they're going to run the ball down your throat.
For sure. Well, that kind of brings me into like Jalen Hurts. These last few weeks, I've seen a lot of criticism. And I don't think he's been bad. I don't, has he played like the MVP that a lot of fans in the city are calling him? Probably not, but I don't think they lost last week because of Jalen Hurts. I think last week the Washington game was they were brutal on third down on both sides of the ball, and the game plan just wasn't there for me. He didn't play great, but I think it's the same thing this week. I don't think the game plan was great, but I don't think he was that bad.
The dude is a leader. Like, he's a leader. He, like, it looks like when the game needs to be won, like, he could. I was at the Washington game, like honestly, like, I was there, and the Dallas Goedert fumble, like, that's a bad missed call. Like, so what? Let it be what it is. But, like, again, that's not Hurts' fault.
Right.
The deep throw, what a beautiful throw that was to Quez Watkins fumbling that ball. That's not Jalen Hurts' fault. And like the throw to AJ Brown, that was an interception. Like if AJ Brown isn't on like a hobbled leg, he might make that catch. Like I think that I'm more bought into Jalen Hurts even after the loss and yesterday's like pitiful game than I was before that, because like yesterday you saw true leadership. Like I was like trying to do stuff around the house. It was my brother's wedding this past on Friday.
Congrats to him, by the way.
Yeah, and then Saturday was Shuvi's birthday, so we were up the Poconos. So
happy birthday.
Yeah, so I came home Sunday and I was like trying to clean up the house while watching the game.
Yeah,
and like that last drive, I'm like I had trust that like this guy's gonna go down there and he's gonna like win the game, like.
And it's not just him too. It's Sirianni too. Like I know he's not calling the plays, but I actually like the guy a lot, and I trust the guy a lot to lead this football team. And I hear what you're saying too. Like I wasn't sitting here saying, you know, oh, they're gonna go down the field and score, but I was not panicked at all. Just like you were saying.
You know what the word that like gives me with Sirianni? I think like gusto would be like a good
term
for him. I was watching leaving the stadium. It took me like an hour and a half to get out of Xfinity Live parking. It was ridiculous. But I'm listening to his press conference. I'm going just back to the Washington one. I didn't get to listen to the Indianapolis one, but like when his first answer is like, yes, we lost this game. And his first thing is like, we need to look at ourselves as coaches. And like, they were like, oh, sorry, it's my dog.
No, you're good.
Like when that's your answer, like we need to do a better job. We need to self scout better. And like, they're like, well, what about the refs? And he's like, no, the refs didn't do like, it's on us to win and lose these games. Like that's that winning mentality that like, I want as my head coach. I don't want a head coach to like, you know, I'm leaving the stadium and I'm like, if I'm Nick Sirianni, I'm going out there and I'm like, calling my wife right before and like, hey, listen, like I'm about to get a $20,000 fine. So like put that to the side. But like, that's like my immediate reaction. And then like, I'm like, you know what? I like that reaction better. Like, no, it was us that lost this game. They're human. Like, of course the NFL will look at anything that, you know, should have been called, and that'll get called later, but that's not what lost us the game. We win the game together. We lose the game together. I love that thought process.
Absolutely. I want to go back to that throw you were talking about to AJ Brown. I think a lot of people were calling it a great throw. I think it was a lucky throw more than anything. I think it just so happened because it got through the Washington defender's arms and then went into AJ Brown's chest and then he dropped it, right?
No, I'm talking about the one that got picked off.
Didn't that one get picked off? AJ Brown, the double team down the move?
I thought he was. Oh yeah, the safety. Yeah,
yeah.
I thought that it was a good spot to make that throw
for sure. But I think it was a little bit more luck than anything, and that's not even what I'm going to get into. The problem I have with that is I don't want him to get too comfortable throwing to AJ Brown in double coverage all the time. These guys in the double coverage all the time. And we saw this week, they got a penalty out of it. Maybe they meant to do it. Miles Sanders down the sideline, the pass interference. Miles Sanders was open. Under through him. I don't want the one-on-one to just be anybody either. Like Devontae Smith and AJ Brown and Goddard are probably the only guys that, if it's one-on-one, they're open. So yeah. Like, I don't want him to get too comfortable in that. I'm going to try to. Because I'm hitting these short passes and these, you know, medium passes, I don't want him to feel, okay, well, I can just chuck the ball down the field because I know my guy's better. Which, your guy might be better 9 times out of 10, but that doesn't mean he's going to come down with the ball every single time.
Yeah.
So I want him to pick and choose that a little bit better. But, again, I can't complain too much about Jalen the last couple weeks. I really can't. And this is coming from somebody, and I've said it on the show. You and I have talked about it on the show with Mike. You and I have talked about it off the record. Like, this guy was could do no right in my eyes last year. And like,
to I've both of us.
We've both completely, and I think Mike too, have been completely done a 180 on this guy. So, like, it's really for us to say a lot. So, like, I think the last couple weeks really have shown that you're – like, look, you could be Josh Allen, you could be Patrick Mahomes, you could be Joe Montana, Tom Brady, whoever. You play 16 or – those guys played 16 or whatever. 17 games. You're not going to have a perfect 17 season, like a perfect 17-game season.
Yeah.
On week – what was this, week 11? He's had at least 7 or 8 almost great games. So, like, I can't complain too much. And, you know – we'll see what the playoffs come. We'll see if he deserves to get paid, if he will get paid. And I think he will, and I think he's going to be their guy. But stars become stars in the playoffs, and I want to see it in the playoffs. And I think he can do it. I really do.
Yeah.
I really think he can do it.
He's like he never looks frantic.
Which was different from last year.
Yep.
Like last year, he was – like there was a throw – I'm sorry to cut you off, but there was a throw yesterday – I forget who it was or where it was. It was in the middle of the field. It might have been Devonta Smith's, one of his catches. It was, like, in the middle of the field. And it was an A.J. Brown catch, too. I said the same thing. It was on a tight window, and I'm saying to myself, this guy does not make this throw last year at all. He does not attempt it, doesn't even think about it, looks at it. And even to Miles Sanders, who was open, he underthrew. Last year, he doesn't throw that ball because he thinks in his head, I can't make that throw, so I'm not going to make that throw. He is completely done a 180, and as a fan, that's great.
Yeah, last year that snap goes over his head. He's probably trying to do 180 different things with it instead of just getting down. And, you know,
we're doing the right thing, right?
Yeah, doing the right thing.
I said that on the broadcast too.
Yeah. Yep.
So. Yep. Yeah. I did want to talk a little bit about the defense again. I think you brought up. Sue and Joseph a little bit earlier on, I think he did, right?
Yeah.
Listen, from the first play of the game, Joseph, was on the field the very first play. They both did their job. They both clogged up the lane. I didn't think Taylor had a couple big runs here and there. But for the most part, I think they actually kind of contained him for the most part.
They did, yeah, after that first drive.
Yeah. you know, and Sue and Joseph both had a combined sack. I think they were combined. So Sue had three tackles, one solo, one assist, I think I saw. And Joseph had two tackles and one assist, something like that. So they combined for like five or six tackles. I mean, that's big, you know. Great to get more, but you can't ask for more at this point, you know?
No, especially against Jonathan Taylor. Like,
yeah.
They bottled them up the best they could and came for the rest of the game.
Riddick had a sack, too.
He did.
Brandon Graham had a big play at the end of the game. Was that a sack?
It was a sack. Graham had a sack, too. But I do think a better quarterback yesterday makes the game like a ton closer than we think. Matt Ryan just looks gassed at this point in his career. Like, he just does not. At this point, I don't know. Like, honestly, they're done. Their season's over. Like, I know Ellinger's not the option. What hurt is it to put Nicky Six in and just, let's see what he could do. He could probably run this kind of offense better. Like, it looks like it's a timing offense right now, and that's what Nick Foles can do. He can run a timing offense. Like, he's not going to be able to read anything. Like, I know the RPO worked in the Super Bowl, but it was more of like an RPO / timing. Like, okay, in 3 seconds, I'm getting rid of this ball to Alshon.
Right. It was a throw option more than anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas Jalen Hurts, you get the run from the running back, the option for him to run the ball or the option for him to throw the ball. And it's kind of funny because now you're seeing it all over the NFL where it's fourth and short or third and short and third and inches, fourth and inches. And you're seeing, which we saw a lot last year, which I'm not going to say we sat here and created this thing, but I felt like they ran that more than anybody last year on the short where you kind of push the quarterback from behind. Now you're starting to see teams doing what the Eagles are going to be doing, where it's the RPO is run with the running back, run with the quarterback, or throw. I actually give the Eagles credit from the 2017 year because I felt like teams didn't really go for it much on fourth down.
Yeah, Dougie P had balls.
Right, from midfield to their own side, their opponent's side, whatever. Going through on fourth down, and now you're seeing teams, you know, it's almost a lock at this point that teams are going for fourth and short if you're in the right spot on the field.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts yesterday finished with more rushing yards than Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah.
So, put that in perspective. You know what my favorite play they run is? And it works every time because this dude, he's another one that I trust with the ball in his hand, Zach Pascal. It's that little drop out where, like, he rolls right and, like, the defender has to make the decision, like, am I dropping into coverage with Pascal or am I coming up to try and make the tackle? That's like a 7-8 yard gain every single time.
Yeah.
I love that play. Every time they've run that on, like, fourth and short before where I'm like, oh, like, wide open. It's usually either Pascal or Goddard where they'll run that out there.
Dude, it's kind of like schoolyard football where if the defense is playing zone and you line up three receivers on that side, you have the safety and the cornerback playing zone, you just have one guy short, one guy medium, and one guy long. And the safety is going to take the long guy, so the guy up front, the cornerback, is going to have to decide, am I going to go short or am I going to go medium?
Yep.
So it's just something that works every single time.
Except my other favorite play that's like that in Madden. I know you're a Madden guy, right?
Yeah, of course.
Is when you get down to the goal line and you run the sticks with the tight end. The sticks is always open where the tight end blocks for a second, then turns around and they're wide open always.
Yeah. So Mike says here, maybe you guys talked about it already. We didn't. But why the fuck is Hurts running out of bounds on 4th and 10? Chuck the son of a bitch up. So my thought process was, and we talked about this over text, it's fourth. I think it was actually longer than 10. It was like fourth and 12 or something like that. I think he tried to step up in the pocket to get better because they were right out of field goal range. I think he knew, all right, I get 5-6 yards out of this. It puts us in field goal range. I understand, like a saying, you're chuck it up like it's a punt. I hear you. I just think what his thought process was, if I get 5, 6, 7, 8 yards, if I get 8 yards, you know, we might go for it on fourth down because it's only one on the other side of the 50. I think if he's thinking, if I get 5 or 6 more yards out of this, it kind of puts us in field goal range, in Jake Elliott's range. So I think that's what the thought process was, in my opinion.
I think the thing, like, they have, which is weird though, because this year they haven't as much sent Jake Elliott out there. I feel like they're more likely to punt than kick a field goal this year.
Yeah,
I'd like to check the statistics on that, but I feel like if it's like they're that like long field goal or like try and punt and get them to 10, I think they're punting more this year. I feel like Elliott's field goal numbers are down.
Yeah,
this
we're seeing stick up way too much.
Yeah.
So apparently that was third down, not fourth down, according to Mike. I don't remember him running out of bounds, so I can't. I don't really remember it. So, I guess I was wrong on that. But go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's what I'm good with that point.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, obviously they win the game. You know, they have Sunday night football against the Green Bay Packers. They're coming out in the all black with the black helmets. So I'm excited for that. And listen, just because they play the Packers this week doesn't mean, you know, this is an easy win. Obviously, we saw last week, you know,
Green Bay
Washington was supposed to be an easy game, but
Green Bay beat Dallas.
Yeah, yeah.
So this
and
is
then Dallas came out this week and absolutely stuck their penis inside of Minnesota. But
good. It's not a guaranteed win.
Right.
Rodgers.
Are you gonna be there?
What? Oh yeah.
You're gonna be there. So it's supposed to rain. I know it's supposed to rain all weekend.
I have no clue.
Yeah.
What it's supposed to be. Let's see. Sunday. Yeah, Sunday, 80% chance of rain, but it's supposed to be warmed up, so.
Yeah.
58 degrees.
Yeah. There was something else. I want to talk about Thursday. Obviously, Thursday's Thanksgiving. You know, we got a lot of football. We play the Turkey Bowl. I play the Turkey Bowl. I think you play Turkey Bowl too, right?
I don't. No, not anymore.
Oh, you did. Okay. No. Well, dude, we gotta fucking get you in it then next year. I didn't even know. I thought you played Turkey Bowl.
No, I would definitely play.
Yeah, we already got all the shit.
No, of course, yeah.
Yeah. But next year I'll definitely get you in. We got a couple good games: Buffalo, Detroit. What's that? Giants, Cowboys.
Giants, Cowboys is gonna be a really good one.
Listen, dude, I going back to that Buffalo game. Listen, the Lions put up points. I mean. I know they're not good, but they put up points. And then the night game is – I think it's the worst game because I think New England is just – it's New England and Minnesota.
Yeah. How about the Rams continuing to kill us? Like, you just can't beat New Orleans, the Rams. Like, you just can't take care of them.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
listen, I am pissed off with the Rams and the Colts. Because they're the two teams that are going to lose me.
Your parlay.
Yeah, my $10 parlay that wins me $5,000. All the other division winners, I'm probably going to hit.
I think I'm with you on that, too. I think they're the one that I'm going to lose to with, too.
Yeah. So, yeah, it should be an exciting Turkey Day. What are your plans for – what are you doing on Thanksgiving?
This year we're going to be going to my mother-in-law's in the morning for some breakfast and then my cousin Philomena's house for dinner and then Black Friday. So,
okay.
I'll be going to sleep, getting ready to deal with all the hecticness. You know what, Dom? Doesn't exist anymore. At least last year. At least at Target, like, it's more like spread out throughout the week. They don't do.
Yeah, I was gonna say, because like everything is basically like online now. It's no more like, oh, just Black Friday and Cyber Monday. Like, these sales kind of last. Like, dude, I was looking at Target last week. I was looking at now my PlayStation has broken. It broke months ago and I haven't touched it. So I was like, oh, let me just look at like Xbox. Like, dude, they had an Xbox S series or X, I forget what it was, for like $250. And I was like, oh, that's not bad at all. Like,
yeah,
it's until Saturday, I think.
Yeah, they just extend them so long to try and move through product.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a
week or two long instead of just one day, and it's all online now. So like, you know, you can get the same deals from my couch than I can if I got in a car and drove. Yep. You know, especially in the rain now this Friday. Like I said, you know, play football in the morning, and then we go to my in-laws for the first dinner. And then they do like an earlier dinner, and then we go to my aunt's house for like a later dinner, and then everybody, you know, other people come and go, you know, people show up for dinner and then leave. Some people show up for dessert. So it's you kind of get to see everybody, but at different points. So it's my favorite day of the year.
Are you a turkey guy, Dom?
Love turkey.
Are you so like white meat turkey, dark meat turkey?
Yeah, white.
White.
I could eat dark meat, but I prefer the white meat.
Have you ever had it like deep fried?
No. So we were just having this conversation tonight with my in-laws, how they're doing it a little bit different this year. My mother-in-law is cooking it differently. So I was like, oh, are we deep frying? And she said, no. I was like, we got to do that next year. Like, definitely got to do deep fry. So I want to try it.
Yeah, I want to do deep fry. I'm not a turkey person. I will eat it. Turkey. I will eat it because of tradition. I do not like it, though. I also, like, I'll make chicken cutlets and bring them with me. Just so they're there as well.
Yeah. No, so we do that. Here you go, a little joke. Mike says Don prefers white meat with a wink. You know, I like my Fletcher's cock. What was I saying here? You see, Mike's got me all messed up in the head right now.
You're saying. Oh, I was talking about chicken cutlets.
So my family, you know, obviously we're Italian. And I guess I assume your family does too. The nine fishes on Christmas Eve, or the 12. What is it? 12?
Seven
fishes. Yeah, I don't eat fish, so I don't really count.
Me neither.
So my mom makes the chicken cutlets, so I have something to eat. Although a couple years ago she was like, "Oh, I made them, but you have to fry them." I'm like, "I'm not frying anything." I said fry them. It was either that or not eat. I do like turkey. Especially if it's done right, like you could really dry it out if you overcook. I do like me some turkey.
What's your number one side?
So I'm not a big side guy.
Funny enough.
Yeah. Not a big Thanksgiving side guy. Like my mashed potatoes.
So mashed potatoes would be like so in my mind I'm picturing like the plates that have the.
Right. Well, so we just got to do a starting five.
We could do a starting five.
We got to do a starting five, right?
But mine's going to be boring.
No, mine's going to be way boring. Mine's going to be worse than yours. I can guarantee it.
I could guarantee.
I don't even think I have a fifth guy.
I think I have three.
And oh,
I could go four.
All right, we could just do the four aces then.
All right. I'm going to go turkey.
Yeah.
And we're just going to talk traditional, like, Thanksgiving here. Like, I went through the chicken cutlets in or anything that. I'll go turkey, mashed potatoes. But mashed potatoes are really, like, my fourth guy. I hate mashed potatoes.
Okay.
Mac and cheese. And, like, a very – are we counting bread? Like, croissant? Like, does that count? Like, a biscuit? Does that count?
Yeah, because we have biscuits too. I don't know all if right. that's like a Thanksgiving thing, but like we eat biscuits too.
Yeah, me too. All right, well then I'll have a five then. So a biscuit and then like some cranberry sauce, but like very little, minimal cranberry sauce.
Yeah. All right, so I guess my ace, like my number one guy would be the turkey. Then I'd go mashed potato too. I would also go mac and cheese three. Dude, I don't even know if I have a fifth guy, fourth guy. What do I like?
No biscuit.
I like biscuits. Yeah, I'll go biscuit. I might have to throw like a banana cream pie. Like that's
no
like,
corn. Nothing.
I like corn. I like corn. Yeah, I'll go. All right, corn's my fifth guy, and then my closer is a banana cream pie because you got the closer's the dessert.
Oh yeah, the desserts are.
Yeah.
That's what the days.
Yeah, of course. And that's the thing is like, and you'll kind of get it, and I get it, like where you'll have a dinner and dessert twice.
So, yeah.
Or food, and obviously you said you had breakfast, so I don't know if you listen to dessert after breakfast, but.
No, it's like a brunch. I don't even know what brunch really is. Like,
yeah,
to be honest with you, I don't. Yeah. My wife's like, hey, we're going to do brunch. I'm like, okay. What is, like, is that like pancakes? Like, waffle pancakes and a waffle.
Yeah. But so obviously we can talk a little bit of baseball. So Chris and I talked earlier about we're not gonna do our top fives. We're gonna save that for next week.
We gotta do our against the spread though.
Oh we do. All right, let's do that first and then we'll get into the next portion. Mike sent us the results of last week. I don't know if I could pull it up quick enough because I had a meltdown before the show and Mike had to help me with some stuff, so I had to go all the way back.
Is it current up to today?
What's that?
I think he has it current up to today.
Well, that's what I'm gonna read. So week 11, Mike went 1-4, just like I did. Terrible week for both of us. And you, Chris, went 2-2. 500. So that brings Mike to what's that?
I got the under in the game going on right now.
Oh, okay. What are we at? What's that look like? What's that?
17-10.
Okay. What's the
43.5?
Okay, so you're looking good. You're looking good right now. So you're probably gonna go 3-2. So Mike's total right now is 19-36. -29-26. -29-26, and you are at an even 500 currently, 26-26. You get that win today, you're above 500.
Yeah,
you're like the May Phillies out here, the Joe Girardi Phillies. But where are we at here? I'll give Mike's picks first, I guess.
Yeah.
He's got Giants, Cowboys, Giants +8.5. He's got Patriots, Vikings, and I hope he's listening to this. I mean, he is, but Patriots, Vikings -3. Texans, Dolphins, Texans +12.5. And then as over unders, Vikings, Patriots over 41.5. And the Raiders, Seahawks under 47.5.
I'll go to break it up so that way you're not back-to-back.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I got Minnesota -3 against New England. Baltimore -4 against Jacksonville. Seattle -3.5 versus Vegas. Over 44, I think that's Rams and Chiefs. And under 46.5, Green Bay and Philadelphia.
All right, and then I actually got a couple of not the same games as Mike. Patriots Vikings we both have -2.5. Ravens Jags I went Ravens -4. That's two road or oh no the Vikings are the Vikings home on Thursday?
I think so.
Okay, but the Ravens Jags Ravens -4. Texans Dolphins, this is where we differ. I'm getting crazy here. Dolphins -12.5. I'm gonna take it. I'm gonna throw it out there. And then I got Bucks Browns over 43.5. Bills Lions under 53.5. So Yeah, so that's our against the spread. Hopefully Mike got all that. Now, what I was alluding to before we did that, Chris and I today about how I said earlier in the show how I'm just gonna let this go fly off the dome, kind of just kind of rip, you know, not have a plan for the show, just kind of talk. And Chris presented the idea of this idea, but before we get in that idea, I did want to read you something that came out not too long ago. It was maybe about an hour or two before the show. The 2023 Baseball Hall of Fame ballot was released. I want to get your opinion on this because I think it's crazy.
Let me pull it up too while we're on it together.
You're gonna pull up the list.
Oh, you know what? No, you know what? I'm not gonna do it. I'm just gonna live.
Yeah, I was gonna say I want a live reaction here.
All right.
So we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. There's about 13 or 15 guys on here.
And this is new players. First year.
Right. Yep. All right. First up, Bronson Arroyo.
Dead.
Next up, Carlos Beltran. Close.
Okay. Yeah.
Next up, Matt Cain.
No shot.
R.A. Dickey.
No shot.
Jacoby Ellsbury.
Very, like, average.
I don't think so. Yeah.
Good. Very, like Hall of Good.
Yeah, of course. He was a good fielder.
Yeah.
Andre Ethier.
No.
J.J. Hardy.
No.
John Lackey.
This is awful.
Mike Napoli.
This is...
Johnny Peralta.
No.
Francisco Rodriguez.
He had, what, one good year?
Houston Street.
Nope.
Jared Weaver.
Nope.
And your 2008 right field World Series winning Phillies right fielder Jason Worth.
They're not going to have anybody, no first ballot Hall of Fame.
Carlos Beltran is the best of this group, and I think Houston Street might be in that too, but
Beltran won't
get it. They're the only ones that have a shot, but I think this is, like you said, the Hall of Good Players. Some are very good players. Some of them are just good. JT Hardy sucked.
Yeah, Beltran won't get in, I think, because of the whole Astros.
2017, yeah.
Which it's sucked possible for him. Houston Street, was that good, Dom?
I did not look up any stats. Just from memory, I think he was good. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, but
let me see.
Giving me Johnny Peralta and J.J. Hardy and Andre Ethier and like Matt Cain.
My dude was a two-time All-Star.
Okay. Yeah. No. Maybe not then. Look up Franco Rodriguez. What? Give me his. What's his spiel?
Frank K. Let's see. He 6-time All-Star, World Series champ in 2002. 2 times Rolaids relief man of the, you know, the best closer.
Yeah.
Three-time AL saves leader and the MLB single season saves record of 62.
Okay, so he's better than Houston Street.
And he had 437 saves.
Okay.
He played for 15 years.
Yeah. Which isn't that hard to do as a closer. But going back to Beltran, I don't know his numbers off the top of my head. He's a very good switch hitter, one of the better switch hitters of our generation. But none of these guys are first ballot.
I like Carlos Beltran a lot, actually. It's just a shame that he's not going to get in because of, let's see, 9-time All-Star.
What's his average, career average?
280.
Okay. How many home runs?
435. 2,725 hits. Okay. Three-time Gold Glover.
It's not impossible.
It's just a shame. I think what's going to hold him back is because of the whole scandal.
Yeah.
I loved him in backyard baseball. I would yeah. like him in backyard baseball.
But yeah, so yeah, I just kind of thought I
would. That class sucks.
It's awful. It's horrible.
You're telling me that there was nobody in that time frame who retired that was better than Jason Worth?
Dude, honestly, like, if any of those guys get in, and I don't think Ryan Howard should get in or will get in, but he should walk if any of those guys get in. Walk. He should crawl in, honestly. But yeah.
Peralta, that dude had like two good seasons.
I know.
That's crazy.
Dude, they threw out R.A. Dickey. Which J.J. Hardy. What are J.J. Hardy's numbers? Mike Napoli.
I think J.J. Hardy, before I pull it up, I think he's going to have a ton of all-stars, but I think it's going to be because Baltimore sucked for so long and you had the same one. But let's see. Oh, no, I'm even wrong with that. A two-time all-star.
Yeah.
Batting average, 250.
Stop. This guy should not be on this possible ballot. Get out of here.
Now you have me like thinking, what's the 2024?
Yeah.
What Hall of Fame, MLB?
What is it, 5 years?
Hall of Fame. I think so.
Let's see. So Beltran retired 5 years ago?
Yeah, 2016, 2017. Okay. All right, next year's pretty decent.
Okay.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Adrian Beltre.
Yes. Off the top of my head, yes.
Joe Mauer.
Maybe, and this isn't like a first ballot. I just think he's a Hall of Famer.
This is okay. Joe Mauer?
Maybe.
Chase Utley?
Maybe.
David Wright?
No.
Bartolo Colon?
No.
Matt Holliday?
No.
Adrian Gonzalez?
No.
Joey Bautista?
Probably not.
And Jose Reyes?
No. Probably not.
Victor Martinez?
Yeah.
James Shields?
No.
Brandon Phillips?
No.
Yovani Gallardo?
No. Do they just like throw anybody?
I'm just looking. No, I'm just going through these who I would think would like make it through.
Okay.
Ryan Mattson?
No. It's really hard to get in as a relief pitcher. They're not a closer.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, I just thought that was kind of interesting.
Scott Rowland still isn't in.
Yeah, I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer.
Or Todd Helton?
So Mike and I kind of talked about this about a year ago. I don't think Todd Helton gets in either because I think especially in his position, first baseman, you have to have like 10 great years. You know, 8 or 10 great years, 12. That's why Howard's not going to get in. Like, if Howard had another 3 or 4 great years like that, he'd walk in. But yeah. I just don't think – I think Roland – I mean, I think – I'm sorry, Helton had, like, 3 really great years, and then that was kind of it. So I don't think he gets in. But I honestly, I hope I'm wrong because, like, you know, it's cool to see guys get in when, you know, you watch them growing up.
Yeah.
He probably should have won that MVP in, like, 2000 or whatever it was. But
plus yeah, he was on a like a brand new franchise team and they never had any talent around him.
Yeah. They did get to a World Series with him.
Yeah, they did. 07.
Later. But I don't think Roland gets in. I you know, a very good player. I think Rollins should get in and will get in. I've had a whole piece on it. Yeah. That I wrote for the site when we first launched the site. So if you guys – I don't really feel like getting into it right now. So if you guys want to read that, go over.
I think Rollins definitely – Rollins is the most deserving out of that whole 08.
Yeah, I agree. I think Utley, because of the position that he plays, should get in.
Here's my question to you then, because I love Chase Utley. Chase Utley is the man. Like,
and I love Chase Utley too, but I don't love him as much as if you Chase, probably do, or a lot of the city does.
If Chase Utley gets in, Dan Uggla also deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Because they were very similar. Very similar.
Look at them like side by side. It's just second base is so hard to get in because it's not like it's not a power hitting first baseman or an average hitting shortstop or like Utley hitting 30 home runs like 3 or 4 years straight, like, you know.
Dan Uggla was a 4-time All-Star with 235 home runs.
What's his average?
245.
Okay.
Let's pull Chase.
He's probably like the 270s. He's probably like 275, 276.
Damn, you're good, Dom.
Yeah. Yeah, no, dude, this is what I do.
259 home runs, 6-time All-Star.
Yeah, how many Gold Gloves?
None.
None? Okay. He's got like 2 or 3 sluggers, right?
4.
4, okay. How many RBIs? Hits?
RBIs 1,025. Let me see.
It's a little low. Cuz he played what? Like
he played
15 years almost.
From 03 to 2018. 15 years.
Yeah. That's not a lot.
He had 1,885 hits.
You'd like to see that over 2002. But I just think that Utley, like, if you look at a list, I think Utley might be like the 10th or 12th best second baseman ever. And like if he gets in, Jeff Kent probably should get in. But I don't know. Just kind of a little.
Yeah, dude, this is, you know I love this stuff. Like, just arguing with you over this stuff.
Yeah, of course. Dude, we can talk about this for hours. Unfortunately, we don't have hours. But okay, so like I was saying, we texted earlier today about a little game. We wanted to save the top five for when Mike comes back next week. So you texted me with this idea about creating an all-time baseball roster, right?
Your all-time baseball roster.
Yeah,
your
right.
All-time dream team.
It does, and it doesn't have to be guys you watch. It could be just a dream team, like you said.
Yep.
You know, now that I'm thinking, did you do like pitcher and closer?
I did. I did one starting pitcher, one closing pitcher.
Okay, because I didn't do that. I completely forgot to do that. I did DH though. I don't know if you did DH.
I did DH as well.
Okay.
I think I was gonna say we should do both, but I don't think we're gonna be. I think that me and you will get. Because my original thought was to do like a all-time one and then like a present one.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to have time to get through. I think we're going to spend a lot of time on the
– fucking this, yeah. I mean, it's only 10:01. No. We still have like 20, 25 minutes. Let's go through this list, and then maybe you and I could come up with a list together of like current guys. That's going to be tough.
I know. Because we're pretty similar on a lot of things, but I think some of the people that I pick is gonna like be a little bit different than what you would probably go.
I still got to do a pitcher though. All right. Damn. What closer am I gonna do?
Dude, is that even a question?
Yeah, I got it. So let's just say hypothetically, like. Aliens from like a different planet come to our Earth, and they say, "Listen, we want to play a game of baseball to take over. You know, winner keeps Earth." They bring their best players. We got it. It's like Space Jam. So, do you want to go first? Or do you want me to go first, or do you want to go up by position? What do you want to do?
Let's go by position.
Okay.
Let's start in the outfield. Let's start left field. And me and you were very clear with this. They had to have played, like, it had to be a left fielder. You can't be, like, outfielder in general. Like, it had to be a left fielder.
Right, you can't put Mike Trout in left field. It's not right. All right, yeah. So for my left fielder, I've got arguably, you know, you could argue he's the greatest hitter of all time. He was in two wars. I gotta go. The Red Sox great Ted Williams.
Okay. I mean, great player. Honestly, probably if he didn't fight in the wars, probably the all-time home run hitter. But I am going to go with the all-time home run hitter with Barry Bonds.
I'm fine with that. I'm cool with that. You know, obviously, we've had a history on here between Mike and I.
You know where you stand on that. You still have to be able to hit the ball.
Oh, listen. If it came down to it where aliens were trying to take over Earth, take all the steroids. I'm trying to live. But, yeah, so, all right, who you got in center?
All right, you want me to go next in center?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, so this was a hard one because I wanted to go, like, Ty Cobb or somebody like that, but I'm going to go with Richie Ashburn in center field.
Okay.
I think, and it could just be the little homer in me, but I think Richie Ashburn as a center fielder defensively, I think he batted over 300 in his career. Philly Hall of Famer, MLB Hall of Famer. He stole a lot of bases. That's
yeah, it's huge. You put him right at the top of the lineup. I'm going to go with who I think is the greatest center fielder of all time. He completely changed the game. Hit a billion home runs as a center fielder. Hit great for average. I'm going to go Willie Mays. Willie Mays is my center fielder. It was tough. What's that?
The Say Hey Kid?
Yeah, Say Hey Kid. It was kind of tough because I was thinking, you know, Mickey Mantle. I didn't think Richie Ashburn. But, yeah, I just kind of feel like Willie Mays, right in that middle of the lineup, you know, he had a ton of home runs as a center fielder. So, I think he's – is he? He might be – I think he's top 10.
He is.
Yeah. For a center fielder, that's great.
There was a thought process that went through my mind what I was going to do because, well, I'll let you go with right field first, and then I'll let you go through my thought process, but go with your right fielder.
Okay. So this was a little tough for me because I wasn't sure which way to go with it, but I just left him off my list completely, Babe Ruth. So I went, you know, the guy who Barry Bonds stole it from because he cheated.
Hammer and Hank.
Hank Aaron. I'm going to go Hank Aaron right there.
So here's the thing. I wanted to go, like when I first did this, I was like, because I told you I was going to go off the top of my head. I was like,
yeah,
like easy. Like I'm going to go like Bonds. I'm going to go and Aaron. Like I just have to, but I'm going to go Tony Gwynn in right field because, like, if they don't hit a home run, like, if who's your center fielder? Who'd you pick again?
Willie Mays.
Yeah, if they are not hitting a home run, they're going to strike out. I'm at least going to have Tony Gwynn that's going to, like, get on base for me. So yeah. I'm going to go Tony Gwynn.
He's had some really, like, nutty stats, like, I'll just be trolling through Twitter and, like, I'll just see, like, a random, like, baseball page that I follow and be like, yeah, he only had, like, 20 swing and misses in his career or whatever it was.
Yeah,
like,
that dude was amazing. Bad.
Yeah.
Do you want to go DH next?
Yeah, I'll go DH. You go first.
Yeah. I wonder who you're going to go here. I wonder because there's two people for me. One of them is one of my all-time favorite players. Played for the Phillies.
I thought of three, and that's one of them. But I didn't go that route.
I'm going to go Frank Thomas.
Okay.
As my DH. But Jim Thome was the other one that I was thinking.
I was thinking I did come across Frank Thomas, but I probably wasn't going to pick him. But I did think of Thome. I did think of Edgar Martinez.
Yeah.
But I have to go with the guy you could argue is the greatest DH ever. Big Poppy.
Big Poppy.
Got to go Big Poppy here. Well, we're trying to save the Earth.
Yeah.
You know, imagine having a lineup where Big Poppy hits like six or seven.
Dude, but right now on your team, like if
we're mashing homers.
Yeah, if you but if you have Christian Javier pitching, like you're done.
All right, so where are we going next? First base or catcher?
Third base, catcher.
Yeah, let's go catcher. Is it me or you?
You.
Okay, so I'm gonna go with an old school one here. I obviously thought about a couple guys off the top of my head. I thought about Pudge. I thought about Piazza, but you know what? I'm gonna go old school. I'm gonna go Johnny Bench.
Okay.
I think he's like the best hitting catcher ever, and
he is.
You know, obviously he's up there. I'm gonna go old school Johnny Bench.
I'm gonna go.
I love it. Are you writing this down, or are you just writing yours?
No, I am writing it down.
Okay, I love that.
If he's not the greatest one, Yogi Berra would probably be just up there with him. But I'm not gonna go either. I'm gonna go with. I need a catcher that's gonna like control the game. And I'm gonna go Yadier Molina.
Okay. Okay. Dude, you know what? I actually might change mine. That actually kind of threw me a curveball.
I tried as I was going through this, like, it's always easy to, like, look up the names and just be like,
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God, like, that dude was so great. But, like,
then you see. I only did that for one position, but go ahead.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, just one position. Go ahead.
But, like, you see these guys and, like, that we have gotten to witness, and like you don't really know how great they really are. Like, and Yadi's one of those guys that he might go down as the best catcher.
Yeah, of course. He's easily the best catcher of our generation. Buster Posey was great too, but I don't think he was anything near Yadi. Yadi's been great his whole career. Didn't face injury like Buster did, but that's a great one. Honestly, it went right over my head because there really haven't been like. Like, you can list, like, 20 great first basemen. Like, you can't do that for catcher. Yep. So that's why I just kind of thought Johnny Bench off the top of my head and Pudge. And, you know, but Yachty's a good one, man. I like that one.
Thank you.
We'll go first base, I guess. We'll go around the diamond.
Hold up. I just want to get – who'd you have in left field again? That's the only one.
Ted Williams.
Yep.
So, Ted in left. Willie Mays in center, Hank Aaron in right, Ortiz DH, Johnny Bench catcher.
All right. So we're at first baseman.
Yeah, you go.
I'm going to go with another St. Louis Cardinal, Albert Pujols.
I have the same.
Oh, you do?
Yep, okay. Albert Pujols. I think the best or second best player, probably the best player of our generation. You know, obviously he's in the top five or four now.
Yeah.
In home run totals. I was going to say another name. Oh, now that our outfielder's done, I was going to say Ken Griffey Jr., but he was a little bit more before us. Yeah. Albert was the 2000s. So, there's really – we've given him praise on the show.
Yeah.
So, you know, you kind of all know how we feel about Albert from all three of us, really. All right, second base.
Me or you?
I'll go. This was the one I had to look because I couldn't figure out who I really wanted. It was between three or four guys. Like we said earlier, I love Utley. I think he's the 10th or 12th best ever. If I'm trying to save Earth, I don't think I'm picking him. I love Utley, but I don't love him the way that this city does. I appreciated him, and I still do. But I'm going to go in a totally different direction. I'm going to go Joe Morgan.
Okay.
You could argue he's the best ever, top three, top five, whatever. I just think it's kind of crazy to be like putting like guys like, or no, I guess Honus Wagner played shortstop, but like I think it's kind of crazy. I even thought of Jackie Robinson too, but I feel like he played too much first base to kind of put him in there.
Yeah.
Even though he'd be a good leadoff hitter, but yeah, I'm gonna go Joe Morgan.
All right. This was when I first started getting into baseball. I remember very vividly the first baseball game that I had was
Cito Polanco.
There was that one game where you could like Beantown, it was called, or something like that, where you like wanted to hit players and all that. And I remember Bagwell, Biggio, and Berkman, like Houston, just with those three. So I'm going Craig Biggio at second base.
I like that one. That's a different one.
That's why I thought, I mean, I'm pretty surprised that we've only matched up on one so far.
We're probably going to match up on two other ones, if I had to guess.
Maybe.
Maybe three, honestly.
We'll see. We'll see.
All right.
I got shortstop.
Okay.
Derek Jeter.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you could go Cal Ripken Jr. They were very similar.
Are you going
to argue? Yeah, yeah, yeah. You could argue both or one or either of them are the best ever. Honus Wagner, obviously. My love for Jimmy Rollins is immense, but he does not belong on that list or on this list. But, you know, just so many great shortstops. But Derek Jeter, who I think is a career 310 hitter.
Yeah.
At the top of the lineup for that Yankee team was kind of the guy. 3,000 hits.
The more you hear about him, like, afterwards, like, he was, like, actually a good guy. Like, yeah, a good human, too.
The captain. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I agree with that one. All right, third base, I think we're going to be the same here. I don't.
Really?
I think
that you think that I'm going to go Mike Schmidt, but I'm not.
Okay, well, that's what I'm going with.
I know that's where you're going. I'm not going Mike Schmidt.
Can I guess this?
Yeah.
All right, is it a player from our lifetime?
He is from our lifetime.
A-Rod.
No. In the division.
In our division?
Yeah.
Oh, Miggy?
Yeah, if you can he count?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, all right, well, okay. Did he play most of his career at third base or first base? I don't know.
All right, now I got to pull this up. Let me see.
Yeah, we might have a violation here.
Miguel Cabrera.
Which, like, I have a list on my phone from, and I know Mike likes to poke fun at me with my lists, from when COVID hit, I made lists, and I put the best players of my generation, like our generation growing up, from 05 to 15, and I have Miguel Cabrera at third base. Because Aaron's a cheater, and I don't like A-Rod.
Yeah, it's 5 years at third base. The rest was at first. Yeah. So. Damn.
he could be on the bench. He could be your bench guy.
I'm still not going to go Schmidt then.
Okay, all right.
I'm going to go in the division still.
In the division still.
Our lifetime. No.
Yeah. I was going to say that.
I'm going to go Chipper Jones.
Okay. Oh, all right. All right. I like that one. That's a good one. It's another outside of the box. Like, not outside of the box, just what I wasn't thinking. Obviously, a Phillies killer.
Yeah.
He had to have hit over 300.
Let's see.
Yeah.
2,800 hits, 470 home runs, 8-time All-Star, MVP.
Gold Gloves.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, so I do think Schmidt is the third baseman of all time.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
But I'm not taking him on my team, I don't think.
Dude, honestly, my team's just Mash and Homer. That's how we're going. It's 2022, baby. It's the way the game's played. All right, we want to go starting pitcher?
You just want to do one? You want to do two? What are you thinking?
Let's do one.
Okay, this is hard then.
You can all right. Then give me a few.
A few
of you guys. Yeah, give me a few guys if you got them.
All right. We're going to do – how about
– it's baseball, so when the aliens come, it's the best of five or something, you know?
Okay, so three. So I'll go three.
All right. Well, I got to think of three then.
I'm going to go Randy Johnson.
Okay.
Let me just keep this down because we got to – next week we'll have Mike pick who's going to win the game.
He's going to do you because you have Barry Bonds.
John Smoltz.
Okay. I got my three.
I'm trying to think if I want to put this on my team. I am Pedro Martinez.
Okay. You, okay, I think at least two of those guys are in the top five greatest starting pitchers ever. No, I'm serious. Two of those three guys I think really are the top five.
Who do you got?
So I got, now I think, two of these guys on my list are the other two of the top five. Sandy Koufax.
Okay.
Arguably the greatest pitcher ever, honestly. He had a 6 or 7 year span where it was just nothing, nobody was ever better. I also have Pedro.
Okay.
And Maddox.
Yep.
So I think we literally just named the top five: Randy Johnson, Maddox, Martinez, Sandy Koufax, and who else did you say?
John Smoltz.
And then who else? Was there one more?
Randy Johnson, John Smoltz, Pedro Martinez, Koufax, and Maddox.
Yeah. So.
Is it? I'll go the opposite of whichever one you go, just to make sure.
Okay.
So I'll go Trevor Hoffman.
Okay. Yeah. Mariano Rivera. Yeah. That's the way I was gonna. It was one of those two guys, honestly.
Man, that was good. Let's see that real quick. I wish there was a simulator that you could put this in and see what the score would be.
Yeah. Honestly, I might have to try to do it on MLB The Show.
Wait, let's see this. Baseball. I know that there used to be one where you could like play a rank, like you could do like the 08 Phillies versus the like 2020 Red Sox, but I don't know if you could do it this way. Probably not.
I'm right,
not
gonna right.
When you're
finished with that, let's try to run through really quick because we are kind of running out of time. Just like a basic like of who like, we'll make it up together. And write it down. Of current players.
Okay. All right, where are we starting?
Let's start in left field like we did last time. I see it's tough because if we go by that rule where like to me like Mookie Betts would move to left field, but he's not a left fielder. So like
right.
I don't know who plays left field.
Does Alvarez, Yordan Alvarez?
Yeah. I would think him. Yeah. All right, so we got Alvarez in left. I'm good with that. Center field.
Trout?
Yeah. I mean, right field, I think we're in the same boat here.
Judge.
And, really, you think Judge?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say Harper.
I love really? Bryce Harper. But are we talking like right now?
Yeah, right I think Harper's the best right fielder in the league.
All right, you can override.
No. It's fine. Let's do it like this. Let's put Aaron Judge in right. Bryce Harper was a DH this year.
Okay. Yeah.
Unless you have a different DH in mind.
No. All right. So Judge. All right, catcher. Are you going the best catcher in baseball?
Yeah, you gotta. GT. Reese at first. No, I'm just kidding.
First.
Third base, I think you got to go the 10.
No, no, we got to go first.
Oh, first base. I mean,
is it Goldman or is it Gold or is it Freeman?
Oh, I think it's Freeman.
I like Freeman better anyway.
Yeah. Well, this is when the aliens are coming. This is when they're on the field.
So Freeman.
I think it's Freeman. Yeah, I love Goldschmidt, but I think Freeman. Who had a really good year, and nobody's talking about.
I know.
Can we put Mookie at second?
Altuve.
Yeah, probably. As much as that stomachs me after the World Series.
Shortstop.
I think you got to go Trey Turner, right? Turner? Yeah, it's either Turner. Dude, Pena is going to be really good, but I think you got to go Turner or Bogarts or any of the free agents. Really?
Correa,
yeah. But I go Turner. I would go Turner.
Third.
I think you got to do the 10-time gold glove, the platinum gold glove winning third baseman, who was, what, in second or third in MVP voting? Nolan Arenado? Or do you go Bregman?
Machado.
See, I think Arenado is the best of the group, but I'd be okay with any of those.
Well, we gave it to Freeman at first when Goldschmidt should have probably got it.
Right.
We'll give it to Arenado at third.
Or we can do it this way. You who are you leaning towards?
I was leaning towards Machado.
And I was leaning towards Arenado. What if we just give it to Bregman?
We could give it to Bregman.
All right, let's put Bregman.
No, I don't want to do Bregman. That'll be three Astros. Fuck the Astros.
Okay, dude. All right.
Well, you know, they won the World Series. I can't. I do think we're leaning a little. Like, we have two Phillies on here. Like, yeah. I don't know. National, if we gave this to somebody in, like, Kansas City, Missouri, if they were going to give us the same list, but we're trying. You know,
I think the two Phillies that we gave most people would say. I do.
All right. Third, I'll go Arenado because you went Freeman. Starting pitcher.
Can we give three?
Yeah, let's do three.
Alcantara.
Oh yeah.
Alcantara, whatever the
Sandy
name is, yeah. Verlander, right? You go Verlander? I don't know. Well, I don't know, man. If he's going up against these aliens, he doesn't come up in the games.
I know. So, I'm scared. Yeah.
You really can't drop a game against this team.
Max Fried? I'm going Verlander.
I'll go Verlander. This is like a top five pitcher, or top three pitcher. Honestly, like, I really hate to go Astros again, but like,
Don't say Frambar. Is
that playoff teams? No, I was thinking more Javier, but oh, Cole. You can go Cole.
Yeah. He had a rough year, though, right?
Yeah, he did.
Max Scherzer? DeGrom?
Oh, we got to go DeGrom.
Yeah, I'm going DeGrom.
Yeah.
And then closer.
Hader?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just throwing names out.
Who else would it be?
Or Anthony Dominguez?
Yeah, sure.
Brad Hand?
I hate Brad Hand. I hope he never pitches for any team ever again.
And
David Robinson. I don't care what kind of awards he won. I could care less.
Connor Brogdon, man. The postseason he had.
I like Connor Brogdon.
Uh-oh, we got a hot take here.
Oh, he's just doing that to get me riled up. So we're going Hader.
All right, we can go Hader. You got another one here.
All right, so we got Jordan Alvarez, Trout, Judge, Harper, JT, Freeman, Altuve, Trey Turner, Arenado, Sandy Alcantara, Verlander, DeGrom, and Hader. Who's coaching?
Not Joe Girardi. Definitely not Dusty Baker.
No, not Dusty Baker. Or Buck Showalter. I hate Buck
Showalter. Yeah, so do I.
I hate him.
I don't know. I might have to coach.
You know who I think would be able to handle like a bunch of all-stars like this? And he's always coach Terry Francona.
Okay. I like it. I'm down with that. I wish there was a way we could get Mookie Betts on this roster, but I don't think you can put him in the right field.
Can we put how many games did he play in left field?
I don't know. Did he play left field? I thought he played center field more.
I know he played center field.
Dude, they're gonna move him to second base if Judge goes there.
I know. How
crazy that is.
Judge is going to San Fran, and he's going to hit.
It's possible.
He's going to hit 80 home runs a year there.
But like, imagine Judge going to LA to the Dodgers, and they move Mookie Betts to second base. Like, they're just going to like drive to the Hollywood Hills and be like, "Yo, you want to play shortstop?" To like just a random guy.
Yeah, and they're gonna be fine. And they could, and right. they'll make the play, and they'll probably win the World Series.
It's crazy. But yeah, I think that's all I got for. I'm kind of curious to see what Mike's going to think about these rosters. So we'll definitely get into that next week or something. But yeah, like you said, we're kind of running out of time a little bit. We can talk about the Sixers for a few minutes. Obviously their season, and I said it earlier, like the Eagles with the roller coaster. Their season has been a roller coaster. Last weekend, Embiid looked like Wilt Chamberlain times 10, put up 42 on Saturday, puts up 59, a career high on Sunday. And then they come out and they lose a stinker to Minnesota this week.
Yep.
I think they had another win. No, they didn't play for like 4 days. So they played Sunday, they were off 4 days, come out and they lose to Minnesota on, what was that, Saturday?
Yeah, and now he's missing the next two games.
Yep, he's out for two games. Tobias is out. Maxie's out for 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah,
Martin is still out. So you got your four highest paid players, your four best players essentially missing time.
You think any of this has to do with like them just purposely like not wanting to play for Doc?
It's not impossible, I guess. But I don't think like Maxie's going out there like I don't want to
play. No, not Maxie. So, Flyers lost, I just saw.
Okay, did they?
Yeah. 5-2.
Yeah, they're kind of coming off the rails a little bit. Mike is the special, and he's a special specialty on the Flyers for us over here. I haven't watched too much, but again, I haven't really watched the Sixers too much either. Because again, it's November.
Yeah.
So like right now is a good time to deal with these injuries because when January rolls around, things are going to pick back up. January, February is when basketball becomes more sexy to watch, I guess, if that's the right
when
term.
It means something.
Yeah. We'll obviously keep an eye on it. The Sixers play tomorrow, I think. Ben Simmons is back.
He's back
to Philly for the first time as a player, not on the bench. We'll see how that goes. Did you see what he said today?
I didn't.
They asked him, do you think time has passed and like it's not going to be as – I'm paraphrasing here. It's not going to be as bad. And he laughed and he said, what, in Philly? He said, come on, man. So he knows it's coming. He understands. Oh, two, the Giannis thing.
Oh, yeah.
I totally forgot to talk about that.
I didn't see the video, but somebody told me about it.
Yeah, dude, it's crazy.
He pushed some dude off of a ladder?
Not off of the ladder. So I'm going to read something by Marcus Hayes. He writes and talks about the Sixers. So basically, Giannis after the game, he shot 4 for 16 from the line or whatever it was. After the game, he wanted to do his practice throw free throws, and he's at the line. He bricks a couple or whatever. The camera guy brings a ladder and tells him, "I have to take the camera down. You have to stop." And Giannis says no. So then apparently the camera guy moves the ladder back and says, "No, I have to do this." And Giannis walks up. You can't hear what he says. You can just see him say basically, "I said no," or something like that. Gets the ladder and throws it across the court, which could have hurt somebody, could have hit somebody in the head. You're getting sued. Like,
yeah.
You know, millions of dollars. Goes back to the line, picks even a couple more. Montrezl Harrell comes out and says, "Listen, dude, you got to get off the court. I got to shoot some. I wanted to shoot around for a little bit." Giannis completely ignored him. Apparently, Giannis ignored him. Montrezl Harrell goes underneath the bucket. Giannis makes one. He grabs the ball and says, "Now you can't play." So Giannis goes off the court. Montrezl Harrell goes to the other side and starts shooting his shots. Now, Marcus Hayes, like I said, is a writer for the Sixers, talks about the Sixers. He came in with a little bit of insight on Twitter. There's about 5 or 6 points here. One, he says opposing teams are supposed to ask for post-game court access, which is rare. So not a lot of the times the away teams don't get this opportunity. Only 2 players have ever not asked, according to Marcus Hayes. 2019 Kyle Lowry in the playoffs and Giannis for the Bucks this past game. 2, the Sixers had a big on-court post-game event planned. So when Giannis left the court, initially they thought he was done and directed changeover staff to lower the basket and remove the camera above the hoop. So this camera guy doesn't even work for the Sixers. He's up there grabbing the camera on the road to the next city.
Right.
Then he says, Giannis was aggravated, staff say, especially when airballed the first 2 free throws and the remaining crowd was kind of, it was still there after the game.
We're kind of talking at him. Yeah.
So he was pissed off. And then he says, my 2 cents, Giannis is a pretty good dude, but having covered him a bit over the years, he could be a narcissistic diva, like most NBA stars. There's no scenario in which he should have touched the ladder. None. Which I completely agree.
Yeah.
You know, I understand what he's trying to do here, but, like, you're on the road, dude. Like, pack up your stuff, go back to Milwaukee, hit the gym as soon as the plane lands.
Yeah.
So, just if you get a chance, try to go on, like, Twitter, whoever didn't see it. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I'll definitely try to catch that.
Yeah. But
Entourage, I'm on 3B.
Oh, there you go. Did you take a break?
I did take a break just between everything.
Yeah.
The wedding and all that, so.
Yeah. So what's going on right now, really, really quick, before we because we're kind of pushing it.
We're over it right now. I'm really enjoying it right now.
Nice. What's happening?
What just happened? Ari is, I think, like, the guy told Ari, like, it's gonna take forever to get your money. The guy that he used to work for.
Okay.
And, like, he was gonna tie him up in court forever.
Right.
I think that was kind of the last thing that I just.
Where's Vince at?
I don't know.
Okay.
Been like a couple days. I have to like rewatch, but it's really. I think drama's become my favorite character.
Yeah, he is. I think he's my second. Like, I think he's the best. I think drama's second. No, you know what? I think Ari's 1, drama's 2, E is 3. And then it's like kind of just everybody else, like Billy Walsh and Vince and Turtle. Like, I love every character, but like,
yeah, Turtle just doesn't do it for me.
You'll see like again, roller coasters. Like, those characters kind of, like, Vince has his ups and his downs, E has his ups and downs. Drama kind of mostly has his downs, but you'll see he kind of climbs the ladder a little bit later on.
I think Billy Walsh is funny.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
He's like, yeah.
There's very few people that can play that character so well. So, all right, well, I think we're gonna try to get out of here. We are pushing our limit here. You can listen to the show anywhere: Spotify, Apple Podcasts. I think YouTube, yeah, everywhere. You can watch our live show every week on Twitter, on Facebook. We are going to get out of here, and we will catch you guys next Monday night. And that'd be great if I had the video planned up. All right. See you guys next week.